You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home.
Hello, welcome back to another great episode. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting. Let's start this episode like we do each and every week, and that is showcasing one of you, our listeners. All you have to do is head over to sdrshare.com, share everything you can about your short-term rental so we can share you here on the podcast. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week we are sharing at Urban Pines AL. Urban Pines AL, and they are in Boaz, Alabama. What I love about this property is they are just, I think they're continuing to develop on their land. They have three properties around a small, I guess a lake, pond maybe. I'm not sure the exact size of it. But what I want you to check out when you go to their feed is they're very different properties. They have a nice mix of a new build, but they're all tiny homes. So I like their staying niche in what they do. And one thing that I saw that I think is really interesting, and for all of you wanting to build out your portfolio, potentially you have some land and you can continue to put houses on it, is I did see some reviews of folks renting out all of them, each tiny home for a family trip. Cool. And that is really when you can start to see different folks, especially if it's a tiny home, you know, you have multiple tiny homes. How do you appeal to a larger group but still stay focused on what you know, which is smaller homes? And quite honestly, everyone, this smaller home appeal, couple of things. A, less expensive to build. Sarah and I are currently doing that right now. Two, you do have a smaller group that, let's say only two are coming to travel. It's much easier to coordinate schedules, to get those last minute stays. So if you are wanting to build out your portfolio, you might have some land. This absolutely is such a great way to do it and have the next property pay for the next and pay for the next. So sometimes it's just like rethink what vacation rental, short-term rental. And honestly, I bet there are so many of you out here right now that your primary home sits on a piece of property that you could have a small ADU on that land and have your primary residence become an income-producing property for you. So if you're at that point where you want to add some more revenue to your bottom line, you want to add a door to your property, sometimes it's always, less but better. Let's think smaller. And I think they've done a really good job of it at Urban Pines AL. So they've got, tiny house vibes, and they're crushing it.
Love that. Go give them a follow. Go tell them good job.
And again, just inspiration to, you can have, how to have their small empire on their,
so cool,
this land. Thanks for making us aware of your property. Go book it if any of you can drive to Boaz, Alabama.
We wrapped up our priced and profitable boot camp a couple weeks ago. And we do a lot of reflecting whenever we do a live event. What are hosts asking? What are the challenges they're facing? How can we at Thanks for Visiting make sure we continue to serve all of you with what's going on today, you know, not what your challenges were in 2024. This is 2026. It's a different time, and hosts are continuing to evolve. And so today's episode, we want to share with you three questions from our VIPs in our bootcamp, because what we do when you're a VIP, you can get more time with the Thanks for Visiting team, get your questions answered, experience coaching from us, live coaching. These three questions showed up in other VIPs' questions. So we chose these ones specifically because many other VIPers asked very similar questions to these. And I'm sure you listening might have these same challenges too. So we're going to
not even know that they're challenges.
That could be true too. Right. But I think it's so cool to know in our industry, what are other people, what are other hosts, what challenges are they facing? Are they facing the same things I'm facing? And the answer most likely is yes, you're not alone. But being a host can feel so alone. Very few family members or friends understand what it's like to be a host.
Well, and here's the thing. They don't even understand, but they also can't give you guidance.
They can't give you guidance. You're not talking to your guests, really, because honestly, your guests are there to enjoy their stay. So that's why you're here at Thanks for Visiting Podcast. And hopefully many of you consider working with us. We would love to be your business coach. And here's an example of how we helped these VIPs during the Priced and Profitable Bootcamp. So question number one came from Kavitha. And they asked, am I underpriced because I'm more booked than my competition?
So this is her exact question. I'm more booked than my competition in the upcoming months. Am I underpriced? How do I know if Price Labs is using the right data? How do I raise prices correctly?
This is such a common question, Annette. First of all, let's break her question up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I want to focus on quickly, how do I know if Price Labs is using the right data? We hear it all the time. Price Labs has me overpriced, or Price Labs has me underpriced. Price Labs is reporting to you the data that it is aggregating from our marketplace.
And also some of the data that you instructed to aggregate.
Yes. And this tends to resonate when I share this analogy with our clients. Is Price Labs is the car, but you have to be the driver. You have to tell it where you want it to go, how you want it to get there, when you want to take a left turn or right turn. Price Labs is the car, but you are the driver. I'm sorry to tell you, guys, very little in life, but especially in business, despite what you hear, is set it and forget it. So choosing your comps in Price Labs and uploading them to Price Labs, because that is very helpful, because what Price Labs will let you do is see all of your comps listed, and it gives you some snapshot data right there, but it also links to their listing for you. That is really helpful so that you can keep a keen eye on your competition. But also in Price Labs, when you tell it within your market, what properties do you want to be compared to? Too often, everyone, you have too broad a scope. You are telling Price Labs to look at too broad a scope of your marketplace. We have to get that honed in so that you can have accurate neighborhood data. That's what they call it in Price Labs, neighborhood data.
And a for example there is just yesterday, did three different behind the scenes pricing teardowns with hosts, and every single time their comps were not even the same bedroom count. So if you are a one bedroom, we had a one bedroom comparing themselves to a studio all the way up to two bedrooms. We had a four bedroom, you know, comparing themselves to bedrooms and three bedrooms. And you need to make sure that you're comparing yourself with the exact bedroom count. And just because you have beds in a loft or a garage or wherever you're putting them, hopefully you're not putting them in all those places, that is not a bedroom. We all know what a bedroom is. It has a door that closes, a closet. It's a proper bedroom with egress also.
Mm-hmm. In addition to that, being booked more is not always a win.
Yeah, earlier. Being booked earlier.
Being booked earlier, being booked more at the end of the month, mm-hmm. when you're calculating when you're comparing your occupancy to your comps, it does not always mean that you're winning. Because what is winning in it? It's making more money. Don't you think?
I was like, is this a trick question?
No. I think winning isn't like that you got more occupancy than your neighbor or than your comp. It's that you made more money than they did.
Sure.
Right? Like, that's the name of the game here is revenue, everyone. The name of the game is making money at your rental. It is not who has the highest occupancy.
You making money.
Right.
And early, so if you are getting booked early, it often means that your price was super attractive, aka underpriced. And we see this again and again and again. You do not want to be the first person booked in your market.
You want to be a rate leader. So the question here that Kavitha needs to ask herself is, was I booked before my booking window even was open? Because if that's the case, then, well, yeah, you were underpriced and you left money on the table, and your comps are going to bring more money in for those similar reservations than you did, most likely.
And you can look at your booking pace and your occupancy. So you compare your pace to last year, compare your pace to your comps. And are you filling faster than the market average? That's really going to tell you a story right there that, yes, you are most likely underpriced.
And how do you raise, she asks, how do I raise prices correctly? This is going to be super nuanced. And so we would need to be able to show all of you what her data looks like and how we would strategic and her historicals and things of that nature. But what you can do, everyone, is understand what your comps are commanding. What was the market ADR for last year? Is it on pace similar this year? And then watch when people are shopping, and you can do that. It's called pickup. Watch when there's actually people shopping on that day in your market. And then you also need to bring in the analytics for your listing, whether that's on an OTA or for all my baddies out there that have direct booking, look at your Google Analytics, like see what that activity is looking like. Are they bouncing? Are they clicking and then not converting? We need to understand, is the listing attractive? And that will help you understand how high we can go with our pricing.
And you'll want to raise it, though, incrementally.
Yes.
You're not going to want to, like, completely course correct. So, like, 5 to 8%, just continue to raise the rate there.
Unless you are super honed in on what you know that you can win in your, you know, what you can command in your market, that's what we recommend newer hosts to pricing. Hosts that maybe not new, but they're new to pricing strategy. And then that fear of greed mindset, Annette. We saw this a lot.
Yeah. Most of the time we see hosts panic when they start to raise their prices. The bookings are naturally going to slow down, and that's a good thing. A slower pace at a higher ADR it's going to mean more revenue for you in the end. So you've got to be patient with the profits. And a full calendar does not equal an optimized calendar. Here's just a language and mindset shift. You want to have an optimized pricing calendar, not a fully booked calendar.
Right. Is not a bragging. Right. Not a badge of honor.
That's a vanity metric.
Right. So if you're booking first every time, you are probably underpriced. Obviously, we would love to just see the back end of your business to really tell you what's going on. But that was just a common question. And so we really appreciated
Kavitha.
I had to look at it again. Kavitha asking that question. Okay.
And the good thing, too, is even her just asking, am I underpriced? That is the data that Price Labs will give you right out of the gate. You don't even have to wonder that anymore. You're going to see what percentile you fall
you
in.
You will.
And you will be eyes wide open.
Yeah.
To where you fall in the market.
And then it's after that. It's usually all mindset mm-hmm. work. Okay. Question number two came from Jenna. This is a question we see a lot. Should I convert my short-term rental to a mid-term rental in the slow season? I asked this question mm-hmm. before.
Her exact question here was, she has three properties, no bookings since Christmas. Should I convert STR to mid-term rental for January through April and switch back for summer? How do I set up my calendar? The first thing I want to just circle back to really quickly is what she said. Should I convert in my slow season? She named it right then. Slow season is not a crisis.
Right.
It is so predictable.
Or a phenomenon. I feel like hosts are like, no one's booking. It's a phenomenon.
Well, everybody just wants to focus on how to get more bookings in the slow season when everyone should be focusing on making sure they're maximizing their pricing strategy for the busy season. So again, slow season is not a crisis. It is very, very predictable. You can see this immediately in the entire market. And what I want to say for her is, since no bookings at all.
And let's quantify that, because sometimes we hear hosts say that and then Annette looks.
We look at the calendar and we're like, well, you have three weekends booked and there's really no other dates left in January.
Or we look at the rest of the market and it's like, well, that's what's available
exactly
in your market.
So you have to see it overall. What is the market occupancy? Is it exactly the same, Jenna, as it was last year, or has something significantly happened there? Is there a demand shift? Again, looking at that overall occupancy year over year. And we want you to really understand the January, February, March occupancy before pivoting. So if you could get just a few weekends with events booked, what would that revenue be, and would it be worth it to pivot? Because if you are only listed on the OTAs, you are going to lose a significant amount of steam, if you will, if you close down for, and I'm using the word close down because you are closing down your short-term rental and opening a midterm rental. And I think I'm going to let you speak to that, Sarah, of you now have two business models.
You do have two business models because this is what no one talks about. Like, I think an MTR strategy is great in a specific type of home, and then STR strategy is great. I think it is very, very hard to have a hybrid. I know because I've tried, and then we've coached other people who have also tried. With the MTR strategy, several scenarios come up. The one, Annette, is the most prominent, is that it is a fact that when you slow that booking velocity on the OTAs, it will bury you in the algorithm. So when you're ready to open back up in April, when you're ready to open back up in May, and you wonder why you're not getting those bookings, why the OTAs aren't, because you haven't been available. So the algorithm is like, well, this listing, I'm not going to show this, you know, serve this up. And so it is very hard to get that engine rev back up.
Because you have, from the OTA's perspective, from Airbnb and Vrbo's perspective, you might take your home off the market again very soon. They don't know how you are going to start to proceed forward. So they want to proceed with caution of continuing to serve you up to the top. And then you, again, potentially close your doors again for 3, 4, however long you have a longer term booking.
Well, and then you get the midterm rental guest. Let's talk about that avatar. It's a very different avatar that you're serving from the short-term rental guest. And when you have a midterm rental guest, here's what we have run into. They don't always know exactly when they want to check out. They might say, I want to book you for 2 months, but I might need to stay longer. Or they might not even think about sharing that with you. And if you don't ask, no one talks about it. But then 3 weeks before checkout, they ask if they can stay longer. And maybe you have a random booking, or maybe you don't yet because you're only on the OTAs and you're expecting to get short-term rental bookings. And so now you're like, do I keep this guest and get revenue, or do I hope that Airbnb serves me up another guest? It's a very difficult place to be in. And then, yeah, you know, you just don't know. You don't know. And then the third layer of this is that most hosts don't have an email list of active buyers, of people who are going to rent from them again. And so you are completely dependent on you being sent a potential customer. And let's say this midterm rental guest asks if they can extend. You get back to them and you say, sure. They fall silent, and turns out they're actually going to check out on the day that they said they would eventually. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then you can't go out and get your own business. You're waiting for the OTAs to serve you up. So it's difficult.
Mm-hmm. And I actually, again, two of the hosts that I was talking to about their comp sets yesterday, same thing. They thought they had these incredible slow season bookings, which they did. But now it is really hindering their busy season is coming up, and they are not getting the higher season bookings that they had previously because their homes have not been on the market for 3 months. So you really have to understand what that impact would be if you were going to sacrifice potentially some of your higher season traffic. So again, I really want you to understand the numbers of year over year. what you could anticipate. Look at what the market occupancy is for the short-term stays. Can you achieve that occupancy? What does that look like for you? And, you know, does that make sense revenue-wise for you to have two different strategies?
And I'm not saying it can't work. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Absolutely. Don't do it. I'm not saying it can't work.
But do your due diligence yeah. and understand the math and what you could have in the slow season. And I want everybody to understand too, really look at the full 12 months and understand right. the full picture before we're doing panic pivoting to different strategies when maybe we just need to take a breath. And then also for those of you that do maintenance, that do deep cleans, that do maybe some capital improvements during the slow season, if you have someone in there for 60, 90 days, you haven't been able to be in that property doing any of the stuff to prep for the high season.
Well, and that's a different use of your stuff. And then no one likes to talk about everyone. I get it, but they're the MTR educators out there who just promise this like easy road if you're MTR. But let me tell you about an MTR guest. Trying to get them to choose you and then sign that lease and send the deposit. The amount of tire kickers we get, and then you get to the finish line, then like signing the lease or signing the deposit, and then they, I don't know, find another prop. They don't tell you. They don't show up. I don't know. And I was like, I just spent all this time romanticizing you and my property, and then you don't book. Mm-hmm. And they use the property differently. And mm-hmm. so then when they check out, there's paint touch-ups. There's, you know, obviously you could have, even if you have cleans during their stay, which I highly recommend, it's just a different ball game that you can absolutely become an expert at. But Annette and I fully believe that when you focus on one thing and one strategy, and so if you are an STR host, we really encourage you to like really master that. And so if you are in a slow season, you are anticipating that revenue. It's actually not a slow season. It is the season that you're in, and you know how much revenue that you are going to be able to predict coming in. And you plan for it all year long. And then you maximize your high season of not just pricing right, but also upsells. Making sure that your calendar management is there so you don't have these random nights that aren't booked or they're not bookable. Partnerships. All those. Marketing, really. Okay. Question number three. This is from James. I'm priced lower than my competitions. My competition. Why am I not booked? And we wrapped our arms around James. Yeah.
My listing looks optimized. Photos are great. I lowered my price below competitors. I only have one 5-star review. The neighbor is at $2,200 a night and booked through June. Why am I not booked?
And this is such an important question to share with all of you, because there are so many of you out there who think, I'm just going to undercut everybody and get booked and be booked and blessed. And then this happens. This happens often.
Mm-hmm. And a lower price does not equal higher conversions. And if you are the cheapest on the block and you are not converting, there are many things that could be going on, but here are just a few. Number one, your review volume. You're not trusted yet. You know, you don't have enough views. People are wondering, should I stay here? And again, that could be a trust issue. And not only a trust issue with your reviews, it could be a trust issue with like, wait a second, this price seems too good to be true. Why is this so low? And I know everyone's thinking like, wait, what? It's like, absolutely. You know, that could be a huge reason people aren't booking.
And we did look at James' property and we immediately had trust concerns.
Yeah, we had a lot of trust. We shared all of these with him. Number one, I think it slept 8. And everywhere we looked, there wasn't seating. There wasn't places for 8 people to hang out, especially around his pool, which was a huge selling point. Was in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, and there were four Chase Lounge around this beautiful pool.
Ooh, one picture had nothing, didn't
it? Right. He told us they were there, but we didn't see them.
Well, yeah, the picture didn't see
and
them.
And it was like there was no outdoor seating. There were maybe four places, but there are eight people there. And we were like, wait a second. It looked bare outside. We're like, well, where are we even going to hang out? Well, we're going to roll out a beach towel. And same kind of happened inside. The second thing, it said ocean views. And it looked like it was in the middle of
a neighborhood.
And then it said a rooftop deck. And there wasn't anything on the roof. There was a little stairway to get up there, but it looked like you would just stand up there. So
that was in like 10 seconds.
That was
looking.
That was in the first five photos. Yeah. We were just like, what's the words here are not matching what the pictures are showing us.
And the property was beautiful, Annette, but here's what James didn't realize. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of our listeners, this isn't your challenge, but I just want to remind you, especially in 2026, that merchandising your home, i.e. decorating it, is so important, especially in competitive markets like Cabo. We have one of our coaches has a really successful business in Scottsdale, Arizona, and she obsesses over her mm-hmm. outdoor areas because she mm-hmm. knows, yes, there is a pool. Yes, the house is cute. But I mean, when she has her cute umbrellas that are yellow and then her towels are bright pink and I mean, the murals that she does, and she is fighting for that business. And we told James, like, you're going to have to layer this property and sell an experience, sell an emotion via these photos to get these people to mm-hmm. trust your property and book you.
Yep. And again, are you competing on that right access? Like, he's looking at this $2,200 a night listing. It most likely is not a true comp of his. He probably has way more reviews. Is he targeting a market and then his price is not anywhere near where it needs to be? And so those are the things, like, again, comparing yourself, you have to have true comps when you're looking at what's going on. And we see that all the time, that someone is saying someone is in their competition, and then we look at the competition and we're like, whoa. Definitely not your competition.
No. And actually, I don't think he even sent us the link to the comp, so mm-hmm. we couldn't verify that or not. But honestly, this issue of I'm priced so much lower, I'm not getting booked, oftentimes it has something to do with your marketing, whether mm-hmm. that's actually physically at your property in James' case, and then, of course, the photos that translate that what that stay is going to be like. And at that $2,600 a night, I mean, or $2,200 a night, I want to know that my guests are going to have a great time. There's going to be enough places for us to stay. And so these were a sampling of the questions that are plaguing our hosts right now. And we don't want that to be your future here in 2026.
And the best part about all of these questions is that the answers that they're seeking, the results that they're seeking, which bottom line is making more money. Mm-hmm. The data exists out there for you to dig in. Secondarily, it's just about problem solving. It's like, try something. Did it work? Try something. Did it work? Try again. Try again. Try again. And what we want to leave you with today is you have to be trying more things, failing faster to get the W's. Mm. You got to take some L's to get the W's. And they're not even L's. When I say L's, it's just learning. They're not losses.
Well,
it's like
learn starts with L.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're learning something. You're not losing anything. It's all learning, learning, learning. Because I guarantee right now, if you're not trying something new, you are already losing ahead of time.
Yeah, you're already falling behind.
And it's fun. Like, let's make this competitive. Let's make it fun. And it's you versus you. It's not, and it is you versus your market, but really lock in. And if it's not fun, you versus you, it's not ever going to be fun for you.
Well, the challenges behind all these questions, Annette, I think lean into what you were just saying. It is you versus you. And it's so by you versus you is, we were actually just listening to it. Do you guys know who, is it Bob Proctor, Annette?
It's Bob Proctor.
Okay. Yeah. Annette loves Bob Proctor. If you guys don't know who he is, go look him up on YouTube.
R.I.P. He has since passed, but I still watch him.
But often. He says this, and then today's business coaches, the really popular ones, say the same thing. So It's like, okay, if they've been saying, I mean, how long ago has Bob Proctor been around? I mean, a long time, decades.
He started coaching in 1961.
Okay, so in 1961, he starts coaching and he starts sharing that success is 5% strategy and 95% mindset. And that is what is behind all three of these questions. And I'm telling you, I would say 95% of the VIP questions we got. And mindset of like, I'm underpriced because I'm more, am I underpriced because I'm more booked than my competitors? That comes down to the mindset that you are not good at numbers, that you can't get pricing strategy, that you're not, right? Like, or James of, this is a beautiful home. Do I really need to put pink parasols outside and sell a vibe? Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, it's mindset there. It is, you do have to just show up and do the work and
get excited.
Get excited and have fun with it. It's business. It's entrepreneurship. It is solving challenges. It's you are a problem solver. That is what you signed up for full time. And it's a great thing. With that, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant. And together we are.
Thanks for visiting. Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week.